1 John chapter 3. We've reached the end of chapter 3, verses 19 through 24 this morning. If you have an NIV in front of you, you'll notice that we left off in the middle of a paragraph last week. We stopped last week at verse 18. Today we pick up right up in verse 19, 1 John 3, verses 19 through 24. So what was the point of last week's sermon? Three words. Love your brother. That's right. Love your brother. Real Christians love their spiritual siblings. In fact, John said that we know who are the children of God by whether or not they love their brothers. And we know that we've passed from death to life because we love our brothers. We know what love is because Jesus showed us what love is. Jesus laid down His life for us. And John says, in the same way, we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. So three words, love your brothers. Verse 18, dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. Love your brothers. That's what John is still talking about as he finishes chapter 3. Let's read verses 19 through 24. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and He knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from Him anything we ask, because we obey His commands and do what pleases Him. And this is His command, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us. Those who obey His commands live in Him and He in them. And this is how we know that He lives in us. We know it by the Spirit He gave us. Would you pray with me? Father, thank You for speaking. Thank You for giving us a sure and certain word, a rock, a solid place to stand on in a world of quicksand. Help us to understand Your word today, to listen, not just with our ears, but with our hearts, to what You want to say to us in it. To get what You are trying to say to us, and then to apply it to us here today. Lord, help it not to be a mental exercise of, okay, fine, and then we just walk away and forget what we saw. But instead, Lord, make it life-changing for us. Maybe for some of us, a 180-degree turn. For some of us, maybe a 90-degree corner we need to turn. Maybe for some of us, just an almost infinitesimal course correction that would totally change where we end up. Help us, Lord, to get it today. And use me, Lord, in that process if You can, but work around me if You must, but speak to our hearts. We pray it in the name of Jesus, our Savior, Your Son. Amen. So I have a confession to make. These six verses have been, for me, by far, the hardest passage to understand in 1 John so far. Now, they sound wonderful when you read them. They're filled with glorious truth, and just about any phrase in it is glorious. But you know how John is, how we've kind of seen how John is? He likes to wind his way around a thought, weaving his words in and out. And sometimes, maybe all the time, he's a little hard to follow. I almost feel like he got on a sled at the top of a big hill full of trees, and he's just going, whoosh, whoosh. And I'm getting on my sled, I'm trying to follow him, and I'm going, where'd he go? Where'd he go? Okay, so that was my experience of studying these six verses this week. I've prayed to the Lord and wrestled with John this week and tried to follow him on his winding path through these glorious ideas. And I'd like to show you what I've found. It starts with a problem. Here's our problem. Our hearts condemn us. We've been learning about essential Christianity from 1 John. John has been telling us what is essential to be and to believe to be a Christian. We've been here since October, November, something like that. This is the 12th message, I think. Recently, we've been learning that we must not just talk the talk, but we must... Right. Because the children of God live obedient lives. The children of God purify themselves because their God is pure. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. Right? So, the children of God obey God. And when they do, they get assurance they are the children of God. Moreover, the children of God love their brothers and sisters in Christ. We saw that last week, right? It's essential. Real Christians love their spiritual siblings. That's what they do. Verse 18 again. Dear children, let us not love with words and tongue. He means only. But with actions and in the truth. And then he says, verse 19, this then is how we know that we belong to the truth. How do we know if we belong to the truth? If we love with actions and in truth, then we belong to the truth. We're of the truth. If we walk the walk, then we know we're real. However, I don't know about you, but I don't always feel like I'm real. I look at my feeble attempts to love my brothers and sisters in Christ, and I have questions and doubts. Not about Christianity. Got those too sometimes. But questions and doubts about me. And concerns and fears and worries. And my heart rises up and says, who do you think you are? Who do you think you're fooling? Do you think you measure up? Do you think you love enough to know that you're a Christian? Do you think that you obey enough? Are you really saved? And my heart starts to condemn me. Anybody felt like that? Now you might say, well, that's Satan. And you're right. The accuser is right there feeding those things to my heart. But it's my heart too. My heart can condemn me. My conscience, which is in my heart, a part of my heart, can condemn me. And I start to worry about whether or not I am real. Because I don't feel real. And I begin to worry, am I accepted by God? And I worry if I'm acceptable to God? And I worry if God will accept me someday when Jesus returns? Do you ever feel like that? Your heart condemns you? I was amazed this week when I realized that the Apostle John sometimes felt like that. Because he doesn't say, you poor sinners who sometimes feel like that. What does he say? He says, we. Not just you, but we, us. John was in the same boat you and I can be in. And John had an answer. And that answer is the point of this message and its title, God is greater than our hearts. God is greater than our hearts. Say that with me. God is greater than our hearts. So kids, today at the dinner table, ask your parents what was the point of today's message. Last week they did it to you. This week you do it to them. You say, what was the point of today's message, Mom? And she'll say, God is greater than our hearts. And then you ask them, what does that mean? What does it mean? I mean, it's obvious, right? God is greater than our hearts. Who would have thought that our hearts were greater than God? Well, sometimes, especially when our hearts say one thing, and God says another thing, that's exactly how we act. We act as if our hearts were greater than God. We listen to them instead of God. But God is greater than our hearts. Let's follow John's winding path. Verse 19. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts and He knows everything. See if you can follow me on John's winding path. Sometimes we wonder if we belong to the truth. Are we for real? And John says that we know we are real, that we belong to the truth if we love our brothers, like we saw last week. So if we love our brothers, and we see that, we set our hearts at rest in God's presence whenever our hearts rise up to condemn us. We say to our hearts, "Hearts, be quiet. Be still. I know I love my brother, so sit down and be at rest." You see that? See how that works? But do our hearts always take no for an answer? I know mine doesn't. Sometimes our hearts rise up and say, "You don't love your neighbor. You don't love your brother. You don't obey the truth. You don't belong to Jesus. You're not good enough." Now in that moment, when your heart is saying that, what do you do? Whom are you going to listen to? Your heart or your God? Which one is greater? Verse 20, "For God is greater than our hearts, and He knows everything." He knows everything. He knows what your heart is telling you. Yep, got that message. He knows how you feel at that particular moment, condemned. He knows that you don't feel real right then. And more than that, He knows what is real. No matter how it feels. He knows it. He knows that you have genuine love for your brother and sister in Christ. Not perfect love, but genuine love. He knows that you have been purified and that you are purifying yourself and you are fighting sin. That you don't love your sin, you hate your sin. Not perfectly, but truly. He knows. God knows. It says He knows everything. So the question is, who are you going to believe? Your heart rises up to condemn. Do you believe that? Or do you believe your God who rises up to assure? God is greater than your heart. Now this message is 180 degrees different from the messages we get from our culture. Every movie out there, I wish I had a dollar for every time I saw a movie that said, "Follow your heart. Just follow your heart. Listen to your heart and do what it says." Right? I mean, Disney's made millions off of that message. And it's terrible advice. Don't follow your heart. Follow God. God is greater than our hearts. And He knows everything. He knows that you don't measure up. He knows that your love is partial and immature. He knows that your attempts at obedience are just that, attempts, not perfection. But He knows also that His Son died for you, and that you believe in Him, and that you have experienced true change in your heart and life. He knows. And so He speaks to you a better word. He speaks a word of grace, a word of mercy, a word of truth. And our job is simply to listen and believe. Because God is greater than our hearts. Say it with me again. God is greater than our hearts. Do you believe that? God is light and there is no darkness in Him. And we can't stand for one moment in His light without Jesus. So if you don't have Jesus, then you're still in the darkness. You need Christ. But if you have Christ, God is greater than your heart. And He knows everything. So what does that do? Here's the result. Our hearts condemn us. God is greater than our hearts. and we believe Him, result, we have a confident Christian life. Verse 21. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, what do we get? We have confidence before God and receive from Him anything we ask because we obey His commands and do what pleases Him. Isn't that great? So if we believe God, who is greater than our hearts, and our hearts give up trying to condemn us, our hearts say, okay, fine, we believe God, then now we have confidence before God. And that's a wonderful thing. Confidence before God. Fearing God, but not afraid of God. Worshiping God, but not worrying about God. Trusting God, but not terrified of God. Confidence before God. And if you have confidence before God, what do you just naturally do? You pray. And God answers. Verse 21 again. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from Him anything we ask. That sounds a lot to me like Hebrews 4:16, which I'll bet many of you have memorized. Let us then approach the throne of grace with what? Confidence. So that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. We receive from Him anything we ask. Now we'll talk more about receiving in prayer when we get to 1 John 5. And obviously, John does not mean that God becomes our genie in a bottle and gives us all of our wishes. But he does mean that God answers our confident prayers. What have you prayed for recently? How did you pray? I find that my heart often gets in the way of my prayers. My heart can be so restless, so unbelieving, so fearful that I'm not acceptable. And not accepted in the presence of God. I'm learning that what my heart needs is to be put at rest. I need to tell my heart that God is greater and more believable than it is, and that He knows everything, so that I can trust Him with my prayer requests. I can be bold. I can be confident before God and ask and receive. Just recently, I have had two major answers to prayer requests. These have been the kind where you don't really expect God to do it. You know what I'm talking about? I know you do. But you asked for it, and you trusted that He could do it if He wanted it, and then He did. I could be confident before God and ask and receive. And this is because I'm a genuine Christian. Verse 22. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from Him anything we ask because we obey His commands and do what pleases Him. Now, He's not talking about something super spiritual or some high up level here. He's just talking about a picture of the regular, confident Christian life. A confident Christian obeys God's commands and does the things that please Him. Not perfectly. Not always. Genuinely, truly. And what, you might ask, pleases God? What are His commands? Verse 23, John tells us. And this is His command, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us. So one command with two parts here. First part, believe. Put your faith in Jesus Christ, who died and rose again. Second part, love one another like Jesus said to. Jesus told us, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love is no one than this, that He laid down His life for His friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. And if you do that, you're living the confident Christian life, which is normal for Christians. So are we doing these things? Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ? It all starts right there. I invite you to do that right now today if you have not. Don't wait for a better time. Don't put it off. Jesus Christ died for your sins and came back to life to give you life. All those songs we sang about being washed with blood, that's gross. Unless it's true. Jesus Christ's blood pays the penalty for our sin. His death covers and takes away what we have done. Believe in His Son, in God's Son, Jesus Christ. And love your brother as He commanded us, like we talked about last week. If you do these things, you will live the confident Christian life. And that life is a life shared with God. A life shared with God. Look at verse 24. Those who obey His commands live in Him, and He in them. Whoa. Did I read that right? Those who obey His commands live in Him, and He in them. I'm not sure I know what all that means, but I sure love the sound of it. If we obey His commands, in other words, if we believe in Jesus and love our brothers, then we live in Him and He lives in us. I live in God and God lives in me. Wow! How do I know that's happening? Is there this weird feeling? God's living in me. No. That's not what it says. Verse 24 again. Those who obey His commands live in Him and He in them. So just plain old, if you read that verse, you know it's happening. And this is how we know that He lives in us. We know it by the Spirit He gave us. We listen to God, the Holy Spirit. And God, the Holy Spirit, is greater than our hearts. God the Spirit whispers to us something much more true than what our condemning hearts might say. He says, "You are God's child through faith in Christ Jesus." He says, "You love your brothers." The Spirit says, "You are real. God loves you. No matter how it feels, you are real." Paul said it this way in Romans 8. "For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received a spirit of sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father." The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Did you get that last sentence? The Spirit, God, the third person of the Trinity, testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And God is greater than our hearts. And He knows everything. So be confident, Christian. Listen to and believe the Spirit who lives inside of you. No matter how it feels, you are real. Because God is greater than our hearts.